concerns, prayers, share together our joys and concerns, prayers that are on our hearts, and lift them up to God together. A couple of prayers to share with you this morning. Jackie Cooper continues to recover and ought to be back with us soon, even this next week. So we're continuing to pray for Jackie as she comes along. We're praying as well for the DiGiovanni family. Little Frankie was hospitalized this week for a couple of days with some kind of problem with her legs, but the doctors have cleared her, and so she's on the mend. But we're praying for the DiGiovannis, for their little daughter Frankie. I have a great joy to share with you this morning. Yesterday, I became an uncle. My sister had her baby, so that's great news. So my parents are now double grandparents in a couple of months. It's pretty exciting. I'm wondering what else is going on with you. What do you want prayer for this day? What can we pray for? Danny.
Continued prayers for my wife, McCall. She's still on her boat now, I guess, just over a week in. Aside from seasickness, seems to be doing all right. And also prayers for my mom's family. Her uncle went into a coma about a week and a half ago. He didn't come out of it. They've taken him off life support, so now for the cousins and for their whole family as they wait.
Thanks, Danny. Praying for your mom's uncle, your family, as they deal with this situation. Also for McCall, away still, praying for you guys. Other prayers. Come over to Allie.
My dad's longtime secretary, her husband, discovered a lump this week on his shoulder. So prayers for basically the process and finding out basically what it is. And then today would have been my grandmother's 93rd birthday. So it's our first birthday without her. So thinking of her and my dad and his family today.
Thanks, Allie. We're praying for your family today. Sort of this double situation, memory of grandmother and also this lump. Other prayers today. Let's go over to Sally here in the front.
I would ask for your prayers this morning for Kayla, who is a friend of ours who has just gone to Haiti with Project Joy that works with children. The cholera in Haiti is disturbing, I think, for all of us, and we need to really be on our knees.
Thanks. We're praying for Kayla on her way to Haiti, and for Haiti, this is cholera outbreak there is a killer, and so we're praying for those folks. Judy.
We got some good news this week from Walter. He's had several tests, and the bone scans show that there's improvement there. So the chemo is working. But he's getting another treatment on Wednesday. So I want prayers for him. And his brother is starting chemo and radiation on Thursday, his brother Junior.
Thanks. We continue to pray for Walter and Junior. Some signs of hope, but more to go. Suzanne.
I'd like to thank everyone for their prayers for Carmen. She spent the week in the hospital, and we have a diagnosis that's treatable. She has anemia. And on Friday, my son was released from the ACI and got to see his two-month-old daughter for the first time, and she already knows that he's dad, and she likes him very much. Little Louise.
That's great. Suzanne, it's rare that getting an anemia diagnosis is good news, but in this case it is. So we're praying for Carmen and for your whole family today. Great. Prayers of thanks for that. For caregivers. Gladys, this whole choir, here we go.
It's a joy, too. I'd like to have prayers for my daughter, Katie, as she celebrates her 22nd birthday today. Hey. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Katie. Prayers for your life. Let me come back here to Jenny.
I announced a few months ago that my sister was moving, and I asked for prayers for that. There have been some glitches with selling their house. It still could possibly still work out. So just prayers that they're able to sell their house and move into the house that they bought.
Prayers for Jenny's sister and sort of life direction, how this is going to work out. Others. Allie.
Hi. I would like prayers for my brother, Ben, and his wife, Kate. They recently found out they're pregnant. and it'll be their third, but they have lost their last baby, so this is very scary for them. And if you're driving through Pennsylvania, don't tell anyone. The news hasn't been released out of the family, but it's very exciting, so prayers.
Ben and Kate. Great. Ben and Kate, we're praying for them in this pregnancy. Thanks, Allie. Come over. Nick, I've got you.
This will be a big joy too. Last Thursday was my wife Terry's birthday. I think I know that most of you remember it, but if you don't remember, I'm just telling you. And Wednesday was my daughter's birthday too. So last week was tough for me. But they are not here today. But if you wish them happy birthday, when I go home, I'll tell them.
We send birthday wishes to Terry and to your daughter as well. We come back here to Peter.
I'd like continued prayers to my cousin Martha, who recently had a mastectomy. The operation went very well, it was very successful. The test previous to the mastectomy for cancer anywhere else came out fine. She's still waiting for tests from the lymph nodes that were taken out to test after her mastectomy was done, and we're hoping for good results, and I can't thank you all enough for all your prayers.
We're praying for, that's cousin Martha, right? With this mastectomy and with still awaiting outcome there. Praying with you, Peter. Yeah, Russ.
I need prayers for my healing.
Amen to that. Russ, we're praying with you, for you and with healing for your body and for your legs. The prayers. Andrew, should we pray for Chris out in the woods? A nice lodge? What kind of camping is that? All right. All right, she's okay then. Okay. Other prayers? Okay.
Let us continue gathering our hearts in prayer. Holy God, we look at an immense creation that is the work of your hand. Tree leaves turn, chill comes into the air, the season changes, the winds blow and blow. Your power is all about us. We pray that that power be in and through us. This part of your church family here is just one small bit of that creation and of the community of the faithful. We struggle and trek to do our part. And we have our concerns that may look small in the bigger picture of things, but that touch our hearts. We pray for Jackie's continued rehab, for the Giovanni family, for those out on the seas and oceans, never even in this day an easy place to be. There's cholera in Haiti. And Haiti remains enormously destroyed from an earthquake that now is getting into our rearview mirror. But for the people there and for loved ones who go there, it's clearly an enormous concern. Those named facing cancer, celebrate the joy of successful chemotherapies and pray for those facing surgery and continued treatment. Our prayers for Russ and his health concerns. There are celebrations also as we acknowledge birthdays, grandmothers, even amid maybe other concerns in the family. Suzanne's daughter's diagnosis is a relief, and her son's reuniting with family is a special joy. We've got birthdays with Katie and Terry, and we pray for them as they celebrate a coming year of life. And pregnancies seem to be all around us, and we want those to be as safe and secure as you might will. We take a lot for granted. Simple things. A pregnancy will be successful, sometimes not. Any and all life changes bring their challenges, and we need your spirit to guide. Even something as simple as a move where there are complicated things like trying to sell a house in a horrible economy. We thank you for our ability to share the intimacy of our prayers that we have for ourselves and for others in our midst. And we do look out on a global arena that in some ways, as always, has more troubles than the people in the middle of them or those of us who are somewhere on the sidelines can figure out or bear. Be it wars in the big places like Afghanistan and Iraq, or the violence and unrest in other places like Nigeria and Somalia, Mexico. We just ask for a bit of peace, a bit of security for those whose lives might be threatened. We've got elections coming up. We ask for your guidance. Help us to figure out the right way to pull the lever or punch the Chad so that our country might have wise leaders as well as our states and local municipalities. The times are demanding. They demand smart, good, wise people, not platitudes and empty promises. This litany is only a portion, O God, of what is in our hearts. Keep probing us, pressing us, and finding us at your feet. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to ask all the children in the congregation to come on forward. Come on up and sit with me for a minute. All the kiddos, come on down and find a place here in front. You guys. Michael. Come on in, come on in. There you go. Aubrey gets it right there. Here comes Leah. You guys find a seat there, Josie and Ben. Thanks, Elliot. So, hey you guys, today I wanted to talk to you about something. Up here in the church for the last few weeks, we've been talking about a story. It's a story about a guy in the Bible named Jonah. Good memory. This is a story about Jonah. And my friend wrote a book, and it's like a book that rhymes, kind of like a nursery rhyme, but it's a Bible story about Jonah. And I brought it today to show you and to read to you. It's pretty cool. It's called Jonah's Journey to the Deep. Here's how it goes. Let's see. God's word to Jonah came one day and said, "Arise, go your way, to preach in Nineveh, for see, their wicked deeds have risen to me." But from God's face he tried to flee, as far as he could go, so he now found a ship and on it sailed toward Tarshish, but his plans soon failed. While Jonah was asleep below, God caused a mighty wind to blow. The sailors feared that they could not save the ship, tossed wildly on the waves. The frightened sailors prayed and prayed, each to his God, but found no aid, then cast their cargo overboard while Jonah, sleeping calmly, snored. The captain went to him to say, "How can you snore? Arise and pray your God that he will hear your cry and spare us that we may not die." The sailors now cast lots to see on whose account this storm might be. And when the lot on Jonah fell, his story he began to tell. "I serve the Lord who made the sea and dry land also," answered he. "And from God's presence now I flee." And they all feared exceedingly. They asked him what to do so they might not be lost. Then he did say, "Because of me this came on you, so I will tell you what to do. Just cast me from the ship, and then the storm will cease." But those kind men did everything they could to sail the ship to port, to no avail. They threw him overboard at last. And all at once the tempest passed. The awestruck sailors, seeing how God calmed the sea, now made him vows. The prophet plunged into the deep, down to the feet of the mountains steep. But when his soul was failing, he cried out to God, who heard his plea. God sent a great fish of the sea to swallow Jonah up, and he gave thanks to God who'd rescued him from death's deep waters, dark and grim. In three days, by the Lord's command, the fish spewed forth the prophet, and by God's great mercy, Jonah found himself on solid ground. That's the story of Jonah from my friend. I just wanted to read it to you today. And I'm going to end by praying the prayer that's in this book, too. So will you pray with me? Let's pray. Like Jonah 3 days in the deep, thou too in death didst fall asleep, O Christ. But rising thou didst free thy people from death's tyranny. As thou didst save the prophet, save my soul, long buried in the grave of sin, bestowing grace on me that I might find true life in thee. Thank you, God, for teaching us this lesson today. Be with us today and this week ahead. Amen. Amen. You guys can go down to your classes. Children through fifth grade are released to their Sunday school classes downstairs. And today the middle school class is upstairs with Juliet. You're released at this time.
Gospel lesson today is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. In this passage, Jesus is giving an example to Peter about forgiveness. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're all here. The other day, my wife, Lisa, called me on the phone in tears. She had just gotten off the phone with the doctors, and she was scheduling a few appointments with them and for our baby, Abigail. And now, little babies have all kinds of appointments that they need to keep with doctors. They have this one and that one. It seems like it's never ending. And for our baby in particular, Abigail, she's had a lot of issues and problems, and she has extra appointments, reasons to go to the doctors every week. And so Lisa didn't call crying about those regular kind of appointments. She was worried about something that they were going to give her, a flu vaccine called RSV. You might have heard of it if you've got a young child. RSV, this time of year, they give it to children, especially infants. So Lisa was feeling awful about the idea that they were going to stick needles into our baby. She hates it. She screams and cries. You have to hold her down the whole time. And that's just Lisa. Imagine how the baby reacts. You know, it's horrible. So I was trying to reason with her, and I said, oh, this is really important to get this vaccine. It's good for the baby. She said, well, it's not just that they're going to give it to her one time, but there's actually a series of five. She has to go in 5 months in a row and get this shot. And I said, oh, don't worry so much. It's for the baby's own good. Take it easy. And then she said, well, maybe you're right. Okay, okay. The other thing they said is that it costs $120 per shot every time you go in. I said, what? Wait a minute, this is not right. Our poor baby. My poor pocket. It's outrageous, I won't stand for it. And she said, wait a minute now. You're really concerned about how much these shots cost and not about your baby? Are you more concerned about money than your own daughter, she said. And I was caught. It was kind of a Jonah moment where my interests were shown to be narrowly focused on myself rather than on my little baby. At the end of the chapter that we read last week, following the story of Jonah, Jonah had finally gone to Nineveh, that great city, and preached God's message of repentance. And amazingly, the whole city responded. As they turned away from their wicked ways, God decided not to punish them, instead to forgive them and accept them. This is where we pick up the story today for our final installment, the final chapter of the Jonah story, right after God decides to forgive. It'll be projected here. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious and God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade to his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about that bush. But then dawn came the next day, and God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in the night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals. Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we take a look at this story together today, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you remember those old Peanuts cartoons? You know the ones where Charlie Brown and Lucy are out on a field, and Lucy's down holding a football. Charlie Brown is getting ready to take a running start at it and give it a good kick. Now, if you've seen this cartoon, which I suspect you have, we all know what's about to happen. Charlie Brown will come running up, and right at the last second, Lucy will pull the ball away. Charlie Brown will go flying. His shoes will come off. He'll land on his back. He'll feel horrible. You remember those cartoons, right?
Yeah.
You've seen them. Well, this is what Lucy does. It's her thing. She's got a reputation to do it. She's got a reputation to uphold. And yet, try as he might to avoid getting into this situation, getting sucked back into that same old routine, Charlie Brown can't avoid it. Again and again, we see this same comic strip playing out. Once again, he runs for the football, tries to kick it, and once again, Lucy pulls it out at the last second. In some ways, this is a parallel to our biblical story this morning. In both cases, someone has a reputation, a way that they are known to act and be. For Lucy, she's known to pull footballs away from people so that they fall when they try to kick them. Charlie Brown knows this, and yet he keeps on trying, he keeps on missing, and he keeps on getting mad at Lucy. Well, in the same way, I guess you could say that God has a reputation. It's not if God wants to save people, it's just a matter of when and how. Time and again, the heart of God in Scripture is shown to be seeking and saving the lost, going after those lost sheep, extending mercy, grace, and love, especially to unlikely people. That is God's reputation in Scripture. Listen for a few examples. Exodus chapter 34. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Joel chapter 2. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Sound familiar? You see a pattern here. Jonah sure does. Like Charlie Brown trying to kick that football and getting the same disastrous results as before, Jonah has gone to Nineveh to preach its destruction. But then, once again, God is who God is, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, full of abounding love and faithfulness. So once again, God forgives. And it makes Jonah angry. Angry enough, he says, to die. He says, God, if you're going to keep acting this way, why don't you just kill me now and get it over with? And off he goes in a huff. He leaves the city and goes to sit down on a little lean-to out on the countryside, looking in to see what will happen to the city. Sweating because it's such a hot day. But on this hot day, God, in the story, sends a bush. Scholars say it might be a castor bean plant, which has big leafy branches. This bush grows up over him and provides shade. Jonah starts enjoying that shade. But then the next day, God sends a little worm, and that worm nibbles the bush until it withers up and dies. And if that's not enough, God also sends a sultry east wind, and it blows in hot over Jonah. This is a bit of inside Bible humor, which I don't know if you get. It may not translate. Usually, Old Testament prophets in the Bible are sent the ruach, the spirit or breath of God, which inspires them to do God's work. But here, Jonah is sent the ruach, which is translated as the wind. And instead of inspiring Jonah, it makes him angry. So it's funny in Hebrew. Okay. The story is so ridiculous that it almost makes you laugh because Jonah is so clearly in the wrong, a classic fool, kind of a buffoon. He's out there complaining about the inconveniences of sun and wind, and Jonah, weren't you the one who spent 3 slimy days in the middle of a fish's belly? This isn't that bad after all, is it? He's out there complaining that God has shown mercy to those undeserving Ninevites. But then Jonah, weren't you that runaway prophet who God called and gave a second chance to? Why are you in such a bad mood? And I guess that's a key question we have for Jonah today. What keeps him from celebrating the salvation of Nineveh? What keeps him outside of the city, away from the party that's clearly happening inside? Well, back in the 16th century, our old friend John Calvin took on this very question. He was wondering this question: why was Jonah in such a bad mood, so far from everyone? Why was he so upset? Calvin says that the reason Jonah becomes so upset is that God has made a liar out of him. God made a liar out of him. He made him look foolish. He went to Nineveh to preach God's message. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Doesn't say anything about repent. Doesn't say anything about forgiveness. It just announces God's judgment. And that's what Jonah did. So Jonah puts himself out there, out on that football field. He ran up to kick, and then God pulled that football away once again. Instead of destroying Nineveh, God forgives Nineveh, shows mercy. So Jonah asks a pretty good question. Why did you even send me to the city in the first place? Why did you send me to do this mission, what we called last week the mission impossible, but what Jonah might consider this week to be the mission unnecessary? If God was going to save Nineveh, and it's up to God to do that, then why should someone like Jonah have to go at all? Why should Jonah go to Nineveh? If God wants to save Nineveh, you see, God can do it. John Calvin writes, "It is not for us in such a case to be overwise, but the best thing is to leave it in God's hands as to the issue of things." It sounds like that old poetic description of a British soldier, doesn't it? Ours is not to reason why. Ours is but to do and die. It's in God's hands. What God will do, God will do. Now, we already know from last week that the Ninevites were not saved by Jonah's eloquent preaching. Remember, he only gave them that 8-word sermonette. And sermonettes produce Christianettes who smoke cigarettes, as the old saying goes. So it wasn't his great preaching that saved them. And the Ninevites weren't saved either by their repentance, their good works of taking on sackcloth and ashes, of proclaiming a fast. They were saved in the end, as God's reputation suggests, because God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, steadfast. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. But God forgives them because that's who God is. It's the nature of God. It's the kind of God that we serve. That's good news. But this gets us back to the original question, because the problem is, this is the problem that Jonah had with all of this. It's the question we can relate to as well. If God chooses to save Nineveh, and God doesn't need Jonah's preaching, God doesn't need the sackcloth and ashes, God can do it, then why should Jonah go to Nineveh? Why should we go out into the world? We as Christians, wouldn't it be quite nice if we just stayed here in church? We could sing around the piano. We could have some snacks in the Hope Room. When it gets dark, we can play sardines. It would be a good time. Why should we go to Nineveh along with Jonah? Why should we care? The reason is, as Eugene Peterson puts it in his great book, that God has brought Jonah to Nineveh to give him an experience of amazing grace. God sends Jonah to Nineveh to grow his heart, to help him see something bigger than himself. You see, our God, the God of compassion, calls us too into acts of compassion. We're called to care about the world God has created, the world that God has redeemed in Jesus Christ, the world that God sustains, even now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God. This story is funny. This chapter there is so rich, there's more that we could say about it in this short hour. Come to our Bible study on Tuesday night. Get into it. There's more than we could say about it. But here's how it ends, with a question mark, with an interrogative, with God asking this asking this rhetorical question of Jonah. He says, should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Jonah's story, you see, is unfinished. We don't know what happens next. Does Jonah stay out on that hillside, angry, upset, confused, sitting with his arms crossed, his lip out, giving his best pout? Or does Jonah change his mind? Does he go into the city? Does he join the celebration that's already in progress? Part of what God has already been doing in that city. Will he go or will he stay? We don't know. And I guess that's the question for us as we end today as well. What's the end of your story? Will you also cross your arms and stay aloof, apart from the world that God loves so much? Or will you join in to the celebration that's happening, to the good work of the Lord which is going on around us, into the world in which we are called to care, to reach out in love and service, to witness to the saving love of our Lord Jesus Christ? Will you take part in that kind of celebration, or will you hold back? The story's unfinished, but your opportunity this week is to write the next chapter. I hope you will. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith as printed in the bulletin. As Jesus Christ is God's assurance of the forgiveness of all our sins, so in the same way and with the same seriousness is he also God's mighty claim upon our whole life. Through him befall us a joyful deliverance from the godless fetters of this world, for a grateful service to his creatures. Be seated. As recipients of God's grace, let us bring our gifts and offerings to him at this time.
I feel
Dear Lord, we bring thee these gifts. Use them in your service so that grace may be shown to all the world through what we are able to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing for our final hymn, which will be Take My Life. It's going to be projected behind me, led by the worship band. The words should be familiar to you, but might be a little bit different tune. Let's sing together. Behind the scenes right here in front of you. Now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Like this last line that they expected us to, there was a Yes, thank you. Yes.